There is a warrior deep in the heart of every man. Society tells men to be soft and stay in line. The church tells men to be nice and quiet. But Jesus calls men into a dangerous adventure, an epic battle. Welcome back, Chad Lambie. We're so glad to have you here on the Blueprint for Men show. A lot of guys have heard you on our last interview, and they might have even gone to your website and learned a little bit about you. But one thing that people don't know until they meet you is that you've overcome a pretty massive physical challenge. Could you tell us a little bit about that and your struggle through that?
Yeah, I was born with a rare syndrome called cleidocranial dysplasia, or CCD is the acronym. It is pretty rare. They say it's a 1 in 1 million, but I think there's more people that have it than that. Dad also has the syndrome, and I was blessed to have the opportunity to have a father that understood the struggles and obstacles that I was going through, because he pushed me in the areas that I needed pushed so that I could succeed. Without my dad pushing me, I might have spiraled out of control and went into depression and have a lot of other issues. But he gave me a blueprint or a guide to follow so that I could become successful by giving me exercise regimens, goals to go for. And he instilled a love for athletics, specifically baseball. And though it was about athletics with his love for me, it was really a design for me to understand how to love life and how to interact in life and have a lot of fun with it. I really appreciated my dad for that, by giving me a good platform to start off with, because being born with a syndrome, having tons of bullying and name calling growing up, was very difficult to really understand and process as a kid. But with having a love for baseball and having a love for life really helped me climb out of those young, mentally challenging years.
Got to be honest, I didn't know what CCD was before I met you. And for anyone out there who's unfamiliar, could you just tell them like what that has done to your body, or like how you're a little different from the rest of us?
Yeah, there's over 100 different issues with it. I've got, but just to name a few, my sagittal suture, which is in the top of your head, never grew together. So I've got a soft spot that goes right to my brain, just above my brow to the middle of my head. And in the back of my skull, there's another soft spot. Then I've had 45 teeth pulled out of my mouth because of the malformations and the different orientations of the teeth. And to be able to have a full set of permanent teeth, the doctors had to extract them. My baby teeth never came out. I've got no collarbones, so that was a huge, I say, advantage now, because I never broke a collarbone or had issues dislocating my shoulder. But it was a disadvantage because it was different, and the kids saw that, and they would point out the abnormality, like, oh, look, he looks weird. He looks like a freak. I also have internally rotated hips, and my feet are slightly internally rotated. There's just more and more stuff that I'm learning about all the time that I have issues with, but those are the main structural things that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, because they affect my ankles, knees, hips, and shoulders, as well as my back, because of how my skeletal structure is missing the normal structure. It's missing all the normal bones that the body needs to be in a good structural state.
Okay, so that's a lot of issues. And I remember one of the first times I met you, you were like, you could touch your shoulders together in front of your chin. And we were like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. And so just, you know, you've just run through all of these physical challenges that you have. And that gives you tons of excuses and reasons to basically live on disability, not to do anything with your life. So what in the world was going through your mind when you said, you know what, I'm going to join Naval Special Warfare Service. I'm going to be a special operator. Like, what were you thinking, and how did you accomplish that huge goal?
Well, I got shown the opportunity by my brother, and he challenged me to do something amazing with my life. He said, stop playing life in the background. Step out and do something that's difficult, which you know you're capable of more. With that in mind, I looked at the options that the Navy had to offer, because that's what he was pushing me towards. And I said, wow, this Naval Special Warfare community has a lot to it. And most people don't make it. And I'm someone that enjoys challenges. I drive off of being pushed to the max. So when I looked at the requirements for the Navy, I just fell in love with it. I was like, you know, I might not make it through this, but at least I'll know that I pushed myself as far as I possibly could. If it wasn't for my brother pushing me in the Navy direction, I might have gone Army or other or Air Force or Marine Corps. But because of his influence, that's why I chose Naval Special Warfare. And just began to drive myself and my mindset and my physical training towards getting ready for that. I mean, Grant, I, as you know, was born with a disability or a syndrome, and I was not physically ready to go to that. So I needed to take a lot of time preparing my body just to be able to have the opportunity to show up and try out. So it just wasn't like handed to me. I had to work out like a madman. I had to work out a lot.
Well, that's great, because one of the things we teach here at Blueprint for Men is that your results come from your rituals. A ritual is just something you do daily. It's a daily discipline. So whether you want to get close to God or build your body or build your business, you got to focus on your rituals. And so I know you went through a ton of physical things to get ready to join and pass through selection. And you chose to go the SWCC route. Now, everybody knows about SEALs, but not as many people know about SWCC. Could you tell us what the difference is?
Yeah, so SEAL is sea, air, and land. They're especially is doing secret ops or black ops. Their whole job is to go in, do a job, and come out, and nobody knows that they're there, and they can do it on land. Well, SWCC is Special Warfare Combatant Craft Crewman, and we're the main insert-extract platform for the SEAL platoons. We can do a lot of other jobs within the Naval Special Warfare, but that was one of the main things that they did. And they came out of the Vietnam era as the PT boats were driven up and down the Viet Cong working against the Vietnamese. So we are our own platform. We're the two special warfares within the United States Navy, and we basically help each other. We're brothers within the special warfare community, but our main job is on small boats.
So when you were on these boats, what was your primary job?
So everybody that comes into the command has to start out learning the boat itself. So I started out as a Chang or a chief engineer and learning the fuel systems, cooling systems, everything about the boat so that I could take care of it. Then my first technical job was to be a gunner. So I had to be a mini gunner and a 240 machine gunner and a 50 cal machine gunner. And you work your way up throughout an entire workup cycle, which is about two and a half years. And then you have the opportunity to take on extra collateral duties, such as being a comms representative, meaning you're in charge of all the communications within the boat team, or you can be a weapons representative. And that means you're in charge of all the weapons. All these collateral duties help out for your advancement. And that gives you a chance to get a slot for a boat captain. And that's really what guys are going for, because you want to advance up. But within the Navy, I never really made it past the boat captain qualification. I got injured and I had a restart on one of my cycles. And that's when I ended up deciding to get out of the special warfare community. But my main job within the Navy was to be a gunner on the SOCAR, which is the Riverine unit out of Mississippi. And I was able to have a lot of fun within that area, being a Chang and gunner.
Now, you got to tell us, what is it like to shoot a minigun?
Boy, it's like a dragon breathing fire at whatever target it's shooting at. It is just, it waylays anything that's in its place. And it is quite a feeling. You flip on the power, hit the trigger, and you're just spraying ammunition. And it's really, really cool at night when you have tracer bullets, because you can just see these things buzzing through the air every fourth round. It's like the 4th of July. You're looking at a fireworks display and it's just hitting, impacting your targets. It is a lot of fun, definitely an adrenaline rush.
Now, as you're going through your training, I know that the SWCC selection is very intense. In fact, they say the SEAL training is the only one that's more intense. Did you guys have your own version of Hell Week?
Yeah. We are not allowed to go through the traditional Hell Week because that's set aside just for the SEALs. Theirs is a 5-day Hell Week. Ours is called the tour, and it's three and a half days. And we go through a lot of similar activities as they do. And instead of using their boats, we use Zodiacs that we have to carry around and or paddle around the little Coronado Island there. And we are kept up for 3 days straight, and we're doing calisthenics and swimming, and that's the culmination of that first part of selection to see who is going to make it. And so, yeah, the tour is the culmination, and if you don't make it, you don't move on. But it's only 3.5 days. Not, I say only, truly, Grant, once you get to Wednesday, you are pretty much mush in the brain and you're useless anyway. So if you could just stay awake another 2 days, that's all you're doing. You're not really doing anything else. So yeah, it's a 3.5 days of grueling, frustrating, cold, kick in the pants.
What was the hardest part for you? Or was there a specific time where you just saw like, okay, I think I might quit?
I was given some good advice by our master chief before we classed up. And he basically said, the only reason you can't make it is if you quit. It's on you. And so I made it in my mind that quitting wasn't an option. I took quitting off the table, and I'd rather die than quit. For me, the water was my kryptonite. It was my nemesis. I could not swim or tread water very well. And I believe that is to do with my hip dysplasia and how I tread water. And it basically pulls me backwards. I basically almost drowned during the brick tread evolution and passed out dropping the brick and came to before I actually fully drowned and came back up. Going through that evolution time and time again, pulling myself down, basically drowning for about 25, 30 minutes was the hardest thing I ever did. I could sit here and tell you about the long, grueling runs and the never-ending PTs, and going through the tour was extremely, extremely difficult. But that water evolution wanted to kill me. But I came to the resolution with my mind, you know what? I'd rather die than quit and give up on something that I really want to try to succeed at. So let's see if I can physically get through this. And somehow it came out, and I gutted through that performance, and I made it through the selection process.
What did you love most about being in the special op community?
That last word you just said is the community. It's the friendship, the brotherhood, the guys that went through the pain, bled. We cried together. We planned together. We ate together. We became so tightly knit that even to this day, if I were to call some of my best friends like Albert Pizzella or Kalea Abino, I know that they're going to be there for me and I for them in a time of need. And it's very, very hard to find a tight-knit community that wants to stand alongside shoulder to shoulder with brothers or family to help each other through those trials and times. That by far is what I enjoyed the most, was being a part of a community that really cared for each other.
And so you're saying that community is built through suffering, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even have to know the guy. If I know that he's SWCC or SEAL, there's an automatic, immediate understanding of respect, because we have endured the same pain, the same process, swimming the same oceans, running the same beaches. We know what we went through. And so when I can look across the table and see that pin or see that accomplishment, there's an immediate respect because of the suffering. That's what it boils down to, is the amount of suffering that we've gone through together.
Do you want to experience a taste of being a part of a community of men like that? Do you want to surround yourself with guys who've quit playing church and are ready to engage the enemy? Then get off your couch and join us at the No Excuses Project in Cleveland, Tennessee on May 13 to 15. Go to noexcuses3.com. That's noexcuses3.com and register today. It's time for you to stop making excuses and start making a difference. God bless.